Great. So welcome, everybody. This is our first conference call for RS-102, Get to Know Your Community. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin-Dun First Nation and Ton Kwashin Council. And Tim, when we come around to you, maybe you can mention the traditional territories that you're on. But we don't need everybody to do that today, just where we're hosting the calls from. So as you can see, a number of you are in the chat. So the chat really helps us to share our thoughts. It lets me put the question in. And as I mentioned, Tim will be facilitating our virtual circle. So we have to imagine we're all in a circle together. So you might want to imagine who's in front of you and who's behind you or who's next to you in the circle. So this learning event, RS-102, is designed to help you identify different ways to get to know your community.
Coordinator from Bakery
has joined.
Awesome. Hi, Nathan. We're just getting started, so good timing.
Awesome. Thank you. Sorry, I'll put it on mute so I can pay attention and listen.
Awesome. And we'll Tim's helping facilitate our circle today, and he'll add you at the end of the circle, I think, or he'll let you know when we come to you in the circle. So this learning event, RS-102, helps you get to know your community through different ways. It helps you describe characteristics that you might want to consider in your community for community recreation. And we're also going to discuss ways that we can respond to what your community is like so that recreation in your community can be more inclusive, accessible, and meaningful to your community. So it's not like you're taking a program from Montreal and putting it into your community. You're going to make things that are relevant for your community. So our agenda on today's conference call is similar to all of our conference calls. We're going to start with a quick round of introductions, look at some of this week's content, and then we look at the prompts on slide 14 and we'll chat about those things. So because we have some new people joining us, when you introduce yourself, could you please also say your community and your role so that everybody knows, you know, it's not just Andrew, but we know where Andrew is. And I like imagining where people live all across the Arctic. And as I mentioned, it's just as important to listen. So Trista is listening, might not have a chance to contribute, and that's okay. You pop that into the chat, so thank you, Trista. So, Tim, I'll do the question, and then I'm going to pass it to you and then let you facilitate the question around the circle. So the question is, please introduce yourself, again, with your community. And then as you introduce yourself, if you can think of a reason why you might want to get to know your community better, then please share that. And if somebody says the same thing that you were going to say, that's okay. You can say ditto or I agree with so-and-so or anything like that. So I'll start, then I'll pass it to Tim, and then Tim will go around the circle to get you to introduce yourself and share one reason why, as a recreation leader, you might want to get to know your community better. So as you might recognize, this is Caroline speaking. I'm in Whitehorse. And one of the reasons why I think recreation leaders might want to get to know their community better is when something changes in the community. So when we had the COVID-19 pandemic, things changed, and there were people maybe who got left out, so we had to sort of get an idea and get to know the community better. So that's my thinking. So, Tim, I'll let you take the round around the circle with that question, and each person maybe take 15 seconds or less.
Thanks, Carolyn. So just so folks know who's coming up next, following me will be Trista, then Trevor, and then Scott. First I'd like to acknowledge that I'm at Sambaque on Chief Dragi's territory, which is a Treaty 8 territory. And this is the traditional home of the Yellowknife Dene and the North Slave Métis. And Sambaque is also sometimes known as Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. And one thing that I think, the reason why I think recreation leaders might want to get to know the communities is because by getting to know your community, you get to know both what people want and sometimes also what people don't want. So I'm going to pass it on next in the circle to Trista, and then Trevor and Scott.
And Trista will pop her answer Trista will probably pop her answer into the chat. So go ahead to the next person, and which is, I think you said Scott, and then who's after Scott?
It's going to be Trevor and then Scott, and then after Scott will be Kuminoktik and everybody who's in Igloolik today. I think we've got Andrew and Trevor in there too. Is that correct?
Yeah, so do you want to go to Scott first, and then we'll go to Igloolik after Scott?
We'll do sure thing. Scott, you're up.
Hi, Scott Cluche in Hay River. I am the executive director for the Hay River Youth Center, and I think it's good for me to get to know the community because it helps me identify what the needs are and where programs are currently lacking in terms of helping out our community.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott. Kuminoktik, Andrew, Trevor, would you like to chime in for us? I see Trevor's doing his on the chat. Not sure.
So Kuminoktik.
Oh, Andrew. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Kuminoktik, you might be muted. Do you want to press *6 and introduce yourself? Okay, let's go to the next person in the circle. We can come back around. So who's after Igloolik, Andrew and Trevor and Kuminoktik?
So after Andrew, we've got Peter in Whitehorse, and then we'll be Kelly, and then Joanne.
Okay, so over to you, Peter.
Hi, my name's Peter. I'm in Whitehorse. I think it is important to get to know your community more because then you can be delivering better programming. You don't want to deliver like a soccer camp to a community that doesn't like soccer, for example. Anyway.
Thanks, Peter. Next, we're going up to Kelly. Kelly, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Sorry, are we introducing ourselves? And then?
Yeah, a quick introduction of who you are, your community, and why you think, or a reason why recreation leaders might want to get to know their community better.
My name is Kelly. I am a youth recreation support worker, and I work for Kwaman Dun First Nation. I think it's important to get to know the community so that you can, kind of similar to what others have said, so you can offer programming that is informed by what the community is wanting, because it's ultimately for them, and then just to develop that great relationship and trust. So.
For sure. Yeah, thanks, Kelly. I appreciate that answer. Joanne, and then David and Dana will be up next.
Well, good afternoon. Umnisaku, everyone. I'm Joanne Liedmark from Kinyait Nunavut, formerly known as Cape Dorset. I am the recreation director for the municipality of Kinyait. Myself, I think that as a recreation leader, it's important to get to know the community and the people to help build relationships with the community and the people, and to help us better understand what the culture, the traditions and protocols and whatnot are. I think having like informal conversations like during a feast or like a event, it's good to have conversations during those community gatherings. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. So I see in the chat Morgan is wondering where you are. Morgan, you're coming in. You are going to be coming up after Billy Joe from Fort Simpson. And I see that Jennifer has put her answer in the chat or where her community is from the High Butte, and she's the recreation supervisor. And Jennifer, if you want to add in the chat why you think getting to know your community better, why recreation leaders want to know their community better, that would be great. So we are on to, this is an unwieldy list. I've got David followed by Dana and then Billy Joe Burrow. Go ahead, David. You might have to unmute, David. Okay, David, if you're having a hard time...
Can you hear me now?
I got
you. Can
you
hear me? Okay. My phone was showing that I was unmuted, but in any case, David Jennings, Elder Active, Whitehorse. The reason recreation leaders need to know their community better is so that they can offer the types of programs that the community desires. If you don't know your community, you could be offering programs that nobody will participate in. So you need to know your community.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. We've got Dana next, and then Billy Joe, and then we'll be Morgan. Dana, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my name's Dana. I'm with Cormandun First Nation in, here in Whitehorse. One reason that I think it's really important to get to know your community is a lot of times the best way of advertising is through word of mouth, and that usually works better if you know the people you're talking to and they have a relationship with you.
Outstanding, yeah, for sure. Thanks for that, Dana. And thanks, everybody, for keeping your answers so brief. I appreciate that. Billy Joe, and then we'll be Morgan. And then yeah, we're going to circle back around to Kuminakbik. Please put his answer into the chat. We'll read that out in a minute. Well, Billy Joe has also put his answer in the chat. Billy Joe Burrow, I'm the new recreation coordinator in Fort Simpson. I think it's important to know our community so that we can figure out what everyone likes to do, have people come together and enjoy sports or events as a community, and to help build relationships. Thanks, Billy Joe. I appreciate that. Morgan, can we jump over to you? Press unmute, Morgan, if you are having if you haven't done that already. And that's star 6. And, okay, so Morgan's going to answer in chat. So I'll read in Kuminakbik's answer that he wrote into chat as well. So Kuminakbik is from Iqaluit, the recreation coordinator there, and the reason he thinks that recreation coordinators might want to get to know their community is because through getting to know community, we know what we need to offer and to know what to do when it comes time to opening programs and events. And Jennifer, circling back to Jennifer, wrote her answer in why recreation leaders want to get to know their community more is because it's how we get to know what the needs of the community members are. So that's everybody.
I think
on
we still have
story. We have Nathan.
Yeah, just Nathan there.
Yeah, Nathan, can you try
yeah,
in
sorry about that.
With your introduction?
Can you guys hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, my name's Nathan. I am the recreation coordinator for Baker Lake. And I think that rec coordinators should know their community and especially the people, since the people are the ones that know what the community needs and or wants. If you don't know what they need or want, you will not be able to do your job effectively. They will not be as happy. Their well-being will not be as high as possible. If you're not doing your job properly, you're bringing up the community spirit by introducing games and stuff like that. So I think you should know your community. It'll help in that way, in that respect. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Nathan. Carolyn, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Great. Thanks, Pam. You did a great job of facilitating the session. And also, Joanne just pointed out that we also have Lorianne on the call. Thanks, Joanne. Lorianne, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know one of the reasons why you think a recreation leader might want to get to know their community better?
Yes. Hi. Good morning. My name is Lorianne Bertrand. I am the recreation coordinator for Nahanni Butte. And I think it's very important for recreation leaders to understand their community better, to really just understand what the community members are interested in and what kind of activities they would like to see and whatnot, and just to understand the wants and needs of community members. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing, Lorianne, and Jennifer for sharing in the chat as well. Morgan says she's busy and she's in Kugluktuk, and Trevor has just popped in the chat that he thinks recreation leaders are a major help to the community, and so it's important to know what the community needs are. I'm just going to challenge all of you for a moment that, yes, we do need to know what our community needs and wants, but we also need to balance that with what's possible. So I had a conversation with one of the youth ambassadors in Kinngate, and they asked how they could get their pool back open. I'm not sure, Joanne, if that's correct, that it's closed or not. But, I said sometimes we also have to think about what else is happening in our community. So it's important to know more than just what people are interested in recreation, because we might be missing people. Or we might be missing things like maybe there's no money to do a swimming pool because we need housing or a health center in our community. So it is important to understand the bigger picture of your community and not just the recreation picture of what people want. The other thing that sometimes happens in the north, and probably more in the Yukon than the other two territories, is we get people who are new recreation coordinators coming in, and they're from down south. And so they might not know what your culture is in your community. They might not know what it's like to have a winter in the north. There's lots of different things. So lots of reasons why we want to get to know our community better. And thanks, Morgan. You're sharing the same idea as Trevor and some of the others. So I'm going to take a few minutes just to review some of the content for this week. If you have the slides open, I'm starting on slide 6, but if not, no worries. It's up to you to decide if you feel like following along or not. So if we want to offer recreation or make sure that recreation makes a difference in our communities, as Nathan and a number of you mentioned, we want to make sure that recreation is inclusive and welcoming, barrier-free, accessible, meaningful, and relevant. So we all know that recreation is very powerful. It can support physical and mental health and also social and community well-being. If you don't really know what the heart and soul of your community is, as all of you have pretty much mentioned, it's hard to make a difference in your community. So as recreation coordinators, as you said, we do need to get to know what the heart and soul of our community is. And that lets us be more intentional or purposeful in how we do recreation programs and services. So slide 7 that we have shows you how our RS learning events fit together. So some of you have finished RS 101, which was the recreation and sports system. Now we're on RS 102, which is about your community. And in RS 103, we're going to look beyond that and look at beyond recreation and look at festivals and things like that. When you get to know a community better, you kind of do it by figuring out what you need to know. Then you have to figure out how you're going to get that information, how you're going to share that information, and why it is important. So facts and stats, like you've looked at this week, help us understand a community. But in recreation, as you're going to find out next week, you want to go deeper and get a good sense of your community values, of their traditions, of their cultures, and of the relationships that happen in your community. So this week, we asked you to look at slides 9 to 12 and browse through activity number 1.
And slide number 10 introduces demographics, things like age and income, which a number of you have shared great information about your communities on. Slide 11 introduces the built environment, and a number of you have also shared this. What do you have for recreation facilities? Do you have a hospital? What businesses are in your community? And slide number 12 introduces the natural environment. What's the land like around your community? Is it forests, like in the Yukon, or is it tundra or rock or ocean? What does it look like around your community? What's the weather like around your community? So there's lots of different things to understand, and you can take all that information and put it together in a community profile. And then you can use that profile to sort of paint a picture of your community. So I'm going to pause here for some discussion about community profiles, which a number of you have posted already, and thank you for that. So I'm going to pass it over to Tim to take the lead on the question, and Tim, I will pop the question in the chat. So over to you, Tim, to ask the question, and if you wanted, I'll let you take perhaps the same order in the circle.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Carla. Slide 13 is where we're at. So when would a recreation leader want to get to know their community better or need to use a community profile? And again, this is a question that some of you already started to think about or have answered in the next learning required learning activity. But we're going to go around the circle and just take a moment to answer. Again, we have 16 people plus on the call today. So I'll ask you to do your best to be brief. I'm trying to keep your answer to 20 seconds or so if you can. We're going to start with Trista again. Sorry, Trista, to put you on the spot one more time, but I promise you for the next question, we're going to jump ahead to Joanne. You'll be on the spot next time. But Trista, if you can start off with and the questions in the chat, what or when might recreation leaders prepare or use a community profile? And have you prepared your own community profile? Kumanostek is asking the question, what is a community profile? So think about all of these slide 10, 11, and 12. So thinking about what the demographics of your community are, who lives there, what is the population makeup, what is their backgrounds, employment, ethnicity, education, etc. Thinking about what facilities you have that are built up, so things like rec centers and schools and hospitals and that sort of thing. And then your natural environment, the things that are you have access to, things like what is the land like? Do you have natural parks or access to that sort of thing? So that's what a community profile is. If you don't want to answer, you're absolutely welcome to pass. Trista's passing first. So after Trista, we're going to move to Scott and Kumanak, and then we'll head over to Peter after that. So Scott, do you want to take a stab at this one?
Sure. It's helpful when you're applying for grants.
Yeah, short and sweet and to the point, absolutely. We all need to know. Our funders always want to know who it is that we are that we're looking to serve with the programs that we're trying to get money for. Thanks, Scott. Kumanoptik, do you or Andrew or Trevor have an answer that you would like to throw into this one?
Okay. So when might recreation leaders prepare in or use a community profile? Have I prepared a community profile? About 1 month, 1 month in advance, just to prepare for a big event or even a small one. But, yeah, a month in advance.
Sure. Andrew or Trevor? Oh, Andrew is passing. Trevor, do you want to add anything to that? Okay, I see that you're passing through. So that's fine. Yeah, absolutely. Just to be able to as we said before, provide great profiling when you're putting together a community event. Thanks for the three gentlemen in Glulik. Peter, you're up, and then we're going to jump to Kelly and then Joanne. Peter, would you like to try this answer?
I think it's important to do a community profile when you're updating your strategic plan or thinking of strategies for recreation in the future, or especially when your community has changed dramatically. Like in Whitehorse, for example, we've gotten a huge influx of people, so doing a community profile would help us create better services.
Yeah, thank you very much for mentioning that. I really appreciate the way that you are bringing and looking to the future and coming back to the idea that Carolyn mentioned earlier on, thinking about the possibilities of what recreation could be in your community. So that's great. Thank you very much for that. After Peter, we've got Kelly, Joanne, and then David.
Hi. Kelly, yeah, I think I'm going to echo what others have said. They've put it really well. So.
Fair enough. I appreciate that. Thanks, Kelly. Joanne, and then David, and then we've got Dana following David.
I think this might be completely different, but what we use is a community resource guide. Not sure if that's similar to a profile, but I guess I can say that I have entered community profiles. I guess it's really based on what you're doing in recreation. For example, if I'm going to have like a 3 months long summer day camp program, I sort of want to create a profile where I have information on how long the program is, what the hours are of operation, is there anything specific we're going to do, is it indoor or outdoors, just stuff like that. So I guess I can say I have created a few profiles just based on what programming you have available.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Joanne. And, you know, going back to the idea that Peter was just mentioning, that Peter was mentioning of strategic planning, your plans can be big like a strategic plan or a community plan, or they can be a little bit smaller like a summer camp plan. And all of these things help you to think about what new things or what maybe some things that have been tried and true you're going to include. So thanks for that. So after Joanne, we've got David, and then Dana, and Lorianne, and then Jennifer. David, do you want to jump in?
Yep. Okay, great. So a resource map is another name that I use and I'm familiar with in terms of synonymous with community profile. And having a resource map is, in my opinion, very important because it gives you the ability to know A, B, C, and who you can rely on or who you can turn to fill blanks. If you all of a sudden come up with a need, you've got your profile, you've got your resource map, you can call X, Y, or Z and pull on that resource. So a community profile is just an essential tool for networking.
Yeah, interesting idea, David. The networking component of having a community profile can be really important too. Funders love partnerships, and we have a lot to learn from our partners too. So thanks for bringing that up. We've got Dana and then Lorianne and Jennifer, and I don't want to forget Billy Joe. So Billy Joe, I'm going to put you in after Jennifer. So Dana, if you want to jump in.
Yeah. Along with what everyone else has shared, I think it's especially helpful to do some research on the resources in your community if you're like starting a new role, especially if you're new to that community. Just helps you get oriented with what's available and what's around.
Yeah, Dana, thank you for that. Looking backwards to see what has come before will help you to see where you can go in the future, what the possibilities are, for sure. Thanks, Dana. We're going to jump over to Lorianne and Jennifer, and then to Billy Joe, and then we're going to head to Morgan, if you want to answer in the chat or if you'd like to chime in, we welcome your answers. So next over to Lorianne and Jennifer.
Yeah, hi. I feel that it's very important to have the community profile so that we can understand what we have as resources and facilities that we could use in order to plan events, activities, and programs for our communities.
For sure. Was that Jennifer or Lorianne?
It was Lorianne. Jennifer just stepped up for a second.
Thanks. Okay, thanks for letting me know.
Okay.
For sure. Thanks, Lorianne. And Billy Joes, we're going to head over to you. Do you have anything you'd like to add to this conversation?
And Billy Joe just mentioned that Billy Joe just mentioned that he's pretty new to this role, so he's going to listen and learn from everyone, and that's a great answer too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Great. Thanks. Sorry, I didn't see your chat. It was just below the surface of where I was able to see.
Yeah.
Great.
I think you have Morgan and Nathan left.
I have Morgan and Nathan left. Oh, my goodness, this list is so long. Sorry, Nathan and Morgan. Sorry. I apologize for jumping around. So let's go to Nathan, and then, sorry, was it Morgan that you just said, Carolyn?
Yeah, and Morgan also pops it. She hasn't done any profiles like this, so she's new to her job. So, again, just listening. So, Nathan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it really helps to know what resources you have. Like, I'll use summer day camp as an example. We were trying to get the youth leaders to decide what to do because the arena complex was full. There was like 200 kids. There was Nunavut Court of Justice. There was a bunch of criminals around waiting in line. Didn't want all these kids around all these bad elements. So we all went to the natural elements instead. Like took them out of the complex, like either hill climbing, or we brought them to the three tunnels where millions of little fish, baby fish, swim to the lake, where the kids can go grab them and capture them and put them in their homemade little aquariums, or to the playgrounds, or the baseball field, or to the bicycle track, or anywhere, like. Anything to plan around kids and events, because you never know what's going to happen. I did not know court was going to be in that week, and like I said, you didn't want the criminal element around 200 kids. So you got knowing the elements and the resources around you really does help. Then you can plan and everything around it. There's always stuff to do if you know what you're doing, if you plan ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. Yeah, there is a lot of planning to do, and this can certainly help us with or thinking about resource planning is a big part of making sure that we are hopefully prepared for some of the eventualities that might come up for us. So thanks, everyone. I really appreciate the ideas that you've been sharing with us. I just want to recap some of the ideas that have come out of this little conversation. So some of the things, some of the reasons why we might want to provide or prepare a community profile include things like thinking of the future and planning that was brought up many, many times. And that helps our community, helps our elected officials, funders, our partners in other sectors to be on board with what we would like to do or what we think we could be doing. It's also important, I think that Scott brought this up, the idea of providing solid background information for grants or for funding, for funders and for applications that we have to fill out. And also this is an idea that came up a couple of times in some sort of roundabout ways, is the idea that sometimes we have to make requests to increase or sustain the resources that we have in our departments, and people want to know why we need to have increases or why we need to sustain funding for those things. So thank you all for your input into this conversation. Moving on from this, and we're looking now at slide 14. Slide 14 is the conference column, but I'm just going to jump on here.
It's just the last question on slide 14, Jim, about gathering information respectfully from our communities. I think that's a really important question.
Thank you, yeah. Yes, it is. So let's talk about that for a moment. So preparing community profiles, there is a lot of information that we need to collect, and you have seen through this for the folks who have checked into the second RLA. Some of the information that we're looking for, especially the facts and statistics, we're going to be able to find those in profiles, in some of the plans that our communities have already got, maps and resource maps, as David mentioned, and other kinds of reports and documents that are available through our community governments and through even our territorial governments. But it's really important, and maybe even more important, to collect information to learn about our community informally. And some of the ways that we do this is through community gatherings or informal chats with people just during events or informally wherever you happen to meet. And really by observing others too, the people in your community and what they do and also maybe even what they don't do. These kinds of activities really can build relationships. And they can help recreation leaders get to know their community's heart and soul. So to wrap up this week's call, let's just take a few minutes to talk about how we can get this type of information and the importance of gathering it respectfully. So, Carolyn, I wonder if you would – thank you very much. Or if you, thank you for posting the question in the chat for us, Carolyn. The question is, how can we gather information respectfully about our communities? Now, I gave you a heads up, Joanne, that we were going to start with you on this one. So we're going to start with Joanne, and we'll move on to David and Dana and then Billy Joe. And we'll continue around the circle that way. So, Joanne, sorry to put you on the spot, but I did give you a little bit of warning. How would you think about gathering information respectfully in our communities?
I think from what I did in when I first started, I've been the few wheels here for the last year and a half. I guess having maybe like a community needs assessment or have like a radio phone-in show on a specific topic you want regarding recreation. So, yeah, those are my main two, is to have like a community needs assessment, like a forum, and a radio phone show with, like, door prizes or something.
That's a really interesting idea, radio phone and show. It's not one that would have crossed my mind. So thanks. That's a really good new idea for me. Awesome. Thanks, Joanne. We're going to head up to David, Dana. We've got Carolyn has inserted Lorianne and Jennifer in there before Billy Joe. So we'll go David, Dana, Lorianne and Jennifer. And then Billy Joe. So, David, can you chime in?
There we go, I guess. Okay, you can hear me now fine?
I sure can. Go for it.
Okay, and, yeah, I've just got to jump back to that question on slide 14 was how to gather information respectfully about your community. Just go knocking on everybody's door. Introduce yourself and let them know why you want information. You can also glean lots of information off the internet. As you can tell, I've got another phone ringing, so I'm going to mute here. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, David. Yeah, I appreciate that you're a very, very outgoing person, and that's not everybody's way for sure. But not being afraid to introduce yourself and ask questions is absolutely valuable for this process. Thanks, David. Dana, can you would you like to take a stab at this one?
Sure, yeah. Something that I learned, like living in the communities here, is considering what the traditional way of like honoring and thanking people for sharing their knowledge and like if you are asking community members, for example, like, around here, it's common to offer a gift or like a small thank you, in exchange for knowledge that people are offering to share with you.
Yeah, Dana, thank you so much for including that. It's really important, especially for folks who maybe are new to communities, to find out what are the traditional ways of thanking people and honoring their input. So thank you so much for including that. It's really important. We're going to jump over to Lorianne and Jennifer, and then Billy Joe. And following Billy Joe will be Morgan, and then we've got Nathan. So we're on to Lorianne and Jennifer.
Yeah, hi. For Jennifer and I, we've been both been working for our community for quite a while now, and for us, when we want to gather community information, we often plan events like bingo, door prizes, or we just offer coffee and snacks for community members just to come on in and share their ideas or thoughts and whatnot. And also, we hold a lot of evening programmings and activities and sewing. So then we kind of just give as much as we can to the community so that they feel more welcome coming to our community gymnasium to share information and whatnot. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Lorianne. I appreciate that. And I really like the idea of trying to get information by or while other activities are going on. So bringing people in, you're going to get information from the folks who are actually taking part in your programs too. So that's really great. Thank you. On to Billy Joe and then Morgan, Nathan, and Trista. Carolyn's putting the order into the chat here. So if you have access to the chat, you can follow along there too. Billy Joe is adding by throwing a community meeting or going around and asking community members. For sure. Thanks very much for that, Billy Joe. And we're on to Morgan, Nathan, Trista next. Morgan, are you on? You might have to unmute, Morgan. Here we go. We've got Morgan in the chat saying, "By doing, oh, great, a Facebook poll." So Morgan thinks a Facebook poll or suggestions through comments or suggestion box at the Youth Center. Also really great idea. Sometimes people want to be able to contribute to the conversation, but don't necessarily want to, they would like to remain anonymous when they do so. So a comment box is a really great way for people to be able to do that too. Thanks, Morgan. After Morgan, we're on to Nathan, then Trista, and Scott. Nathan, are you there?
Yeah, there, sorry. I was just clearing my throat. What we normally do is when we're trying to get sensitive information, we would go door to door, like to the elders, get their permission first, like explain what we were doing and whatnot, and if they want to share some of their stories, even if it was painful or not, and then do it in the privacy of their home if they welcomed us. That was the nature of the, like, very sensitive information, like trying to get, like, how you dealt with the loss of family members or anything emotional. We try and do face-to-face just to be respectful, and because Inuit are very expressive, facial expressions. You can't do it over the phone. You need to see the face. So, yeah. Pretty much I have. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. That's a really important comment to make, is the face-to-face, how important the communication, the body language can be in communication. And I really appreciated how you included getting permission from people to use their stories or to tell their stories. And I'd just like to throw in maybe that if you are working with folks who are sharing sensitive or information or stories that might be traumatic for them, to maybe make sure that you have some information for supports that are available in your community for people who might need, to have emotional or counseling support out if you are using or sharing or gaining that kind of, gathering that kind of information. Thanks, Nathan. So after Nathan, we're on to Trista and then Scott and then Kuvanarpik and Trevor and Andrew in Igloolik. So we're on to you, Trista.
Trista popped in the chat that she ends lots of community events with surveys and requests feedback of what the community would like to see. She also uses the Recreation Facebook page as a means of communicating with people. So similar perhaps to what Morgan suggested too, right? And very different parts of the country.
Yeah. Facebook is our, one of our common town square, I think. Thanks for reading that out for us, Carolyn. So after Trista, we have Scott and then the folks in Igloolik, and then we'll be Peter and then Kelly. Scott, you're up.
I think when collecting information, it's important to be very transparent about what's being collected for and what's going to happen with it. And then also, when possible, I like to offer people an opportunity that they can be involved in you know, whatever it is that we're doing with that.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I appreciate your comment. And it sort of speaks back to what a few other folks have mentioned, too, Nathan included, the idea of letting people know why you want the information and how you're planning to use it. That's really, privacy has become a really important issue for folks, and being transparent, as you say, and that's what transparency is, letting people know why and how you plan to use the information that you're gathering, can put people at ease and allow them to give you more fulsome answers. Thanks, Scott. So next we've got Kuvanarpik and Trevor and Andrew and Igloolik.
Okay. Hold on, let me... There, okay. The most respectful way to gather information about our community is typically by polls, assemblies, seminars, roundtables, surveys, and just get to the people and talk with the community, either if they're members, organizations, societies, groups, or even just put out a poster inviting anyone to talk about a certain topic and leaving a phone number to book a time to talk. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that's really great. I like the idea of inviting people to talk. And that's a really, that's something that we've heard a couple of times in the conversation so far, is allowing people, giving people the opportunity. Thank you very much, Kuvanarpik, for that. And to Trevor and Andrew, who jumped in the chat through social media and through radio as well. We've got a couple more folks to go. We are heading over to Peter and then Kelly, and then we're going to just do a quick wrap-up of our call. Peter, would you like to add your comments?
Yeah, I mean, people have already said a lot of awesome things. I really like the ideas behind giving gifts and honoring people who give you information, because it's really valuable and people aren't always willing to share. And so what we do get, I think it's good to be appreciative of that. Just like building rapport with people when you're trying to gather information and explain to them that you're doing it from like an honest place and you're just doing it for the best interest of the community and not to, like, I don't know, send them targeted ads or whatever. But
yeah. Sure. Yeah, no, you're right. Thank you for putting it out in that good way. I really appreciate your comments. Thank you. And Trista has added into the chat, we have lots of community events. Oh, that's, hang on, I've got another one here. That's not true. We've already had Trista's. Our last person we're going to come back to, thank you, Peter, for that, is Kelly. So, Kelly, would you like to join in on the last bit of our conversation?
I'm going on.
There you go.
Yeah. actually had much to add going last. I think everything that was said was really amazing and covered a lot of aspects of it.
For sure. Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Yeah, no, it's been a really great conversation and lots of great ideas. Carolyn's adding something to the chat here. Remember to invite children and youth to share their ideas too. And absolutely, our community is a community of people of all ages and backgrounds. Boy, that's a lot to try and wrap up. But thank you all for that great conversation. I really appreciate everybody's input. But we are out of time. It's 11:59. So thank you all for being part of the call today. This is going to wrap it up. I'm going to remind you to please take a moment to take a look at the RLA for the end of the week and to try and complete that, please, by Sunday. I'd also like you to take the time to read and comment, if you can, on what other folks' posts are. Next week, we're going to be looking at less formal approaches to learning about your community, and the RLA is going to actually involve chatting with the community member, so get ready for that. If you have any questions, feel free to stick around on the line after we stop the recording. Carolyn and I will stay on the call for a few more minutes, so you can add us any or ask any questions if you'd like to. I'm going to say Marci, which is a traditional thank you in of the Nape, and
has left.
Juana, and thank you all for being part of the conversation today. Again, feel free to stick around if you'd like to. And have a great Thursday, everybody. Thank you for being part of our call.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.